Welcome to the Manage Impact Development Training for Operations Manager. My name is Brian Renton. I'm a knowledge engineer with Microsoft, focusing on System Center and cloud technologies. This lesson is titled Rules. This is really a follow-on to the last lesson on unit monitors, since we use the same data sources, and configuring rules is really like an easier version of a monitor. But we wanted to do monitors first, since as I mentioned before, they really are the core of the service model. We typically start with monitors and then add rules where a monitor doesn't make sense for some reason. So we've already covered a lot of the details with monitors. We really just have a single slide here, and then we'll jump right over into creating our samples. Now a rule does one of three things. It creates an alert without setting health state. It can collect data for reporting. That's typically performance counters or events. Or it can just run some command or a script on a schedule or in response to something. Now that's really not all that common, so it's not a scenario that I'm going to talk about. We'll really focus on the other two. Now just like monitors, rules have a data source that defines where we're going to get its information. In fact, they can have more than one data source, but that's pretty rare. While I don't list them here, those data sources are exactly the same ones that we use for monitors, and you'll find that configuring them is identical to when we created monitors. Now, like monitors, rules need a condition. But unlike monitors that define a condition for each health state, we can only have one condition on a rule. Like monitors, though, we often have the conditions baked into the data source. So remember when we created our event monitors. We just specified the details of the events we were interested in when we did the configuration for the data source. Same thing with the performance monitor when we specify the counters and the threshold. Now rules use those same data sources, so you'll find that many of the rules that you create won't have a condition detection at all. We'll learn a lot more about that when we start creating custom modules. Now the thing that a rule has that a monitor doesn't is what we call a write action. Monitors just set health state, but with a rule, we need to tell it what we want it to do with the information. Now the vast majority of the time, that's going to be one of two things. We're either going to create an alert, or we're going to store the information in the Operations Manager database. But you could certainly do some custom scenarios where you're running a script or performing some particular action at the end of the rule. Again, those aren't as common, so we won't cover those here, but I think as we go through our samples and you see how write actions are configured, it will be fairly obvious in how you would add that type of functionality. So that's really all we need to know for now, and let's have a look at what it is we're going to create in our samples. Now in our last lesson, we had an event monitor that alerted us to a bad queue entry, and we saw a couple of different configurations for that. What we'll do is detect the identical situation using a rule instead of a monitor, and we'll have a look at the differences from that. Now we also created a monitor based on a performance counter. Like I mentioned back then in that lesson, a monitor is only going to set health state. It's not going to collect that perf counter for any reporting. For that, we need a rule. So we'll go ahead and we'll create a collection rule to go along with that monitor. Then we'll use a data source that we haven't seen before. Now our scenario here that we're going to simulate is our central processor, remember that class that we created for our sample application, it logs all of its activity to a text file. Now each night it performs a backup process, and if there's a problem, that gets logged. Now that's something we want to know about, so we want an alert, but it doesn't indicate that we have any loss of our service, so a rule as opposed to a monitor makes sense here. So using that scenario, we get a chance to see how we work with text logs. So here's what we're going to create. In our last lesson, we had an event monitor that alerted us to a bad queue entry, and we saw a couple of different configurations for that. What we'll do now is detect that identical situation using a rule instead of a monitor, have a look at the differences. We also created a monitor based on a performance counter. Like I mentioned before, a monitor is only going to set health state. It's not going to collect that perf counter for any reporting. For that, we need a rule. So we'll go ahead and create that collection rule to go along with our monitor. Then we'll use a data source that we haven't seen before. Our scenario here is that our central processor logs its activity to a text file, and it creates a new text file each day using the date as part of the name. So we want a rule as opposed to a monitor because we don't want to set health state. So we'll get a chance also in this little exercise to see how we work with text logs. And here we are back in Visual Studio in our management pack. So the first thing we want to do is create this rule that fires on the bad queue entry situation, which is the Windows event. Now we already have a monitor in place for this. And obviously we don't need a monitor and a rule. Now both will fire. You could, this theoretically would work. You could, we create the event, both the monitor and the rule would fire the alert. The monitor would go to its critical state. But in a real management pack, obviously you just have one or the other. And we don't want to confuse things when we're testing here. So what I'm going to do is just go ahead and disable this one. Keeps it completely intact, but it won't show up on our Health Explorer, and basically the workflow won't run unless someone basically created an override and turned it back on. So now I'm going to do add a template here, and we'll do an alert rule. Now, let me mention here between our different kinds of rules. You can see we have alert rule, event collection, perf collection, and custom. Now remember I mentioned that rules have one or more write actions. By far the most common are to either create an alert or collect something into the database. And what we collect is either events or performance data. And so basically these templates essentially put some UI in front of those write actions. If we selected custom rule, we basically have to know which write action to select for doing an alert and for doing the collection, then go in and configure it much like we've been doing our data sources. So for this lesson, we'll just use the alert and the collection templates, make things easier. Later on, we start doing some real work with modules, then we'll go ahead and create a custom rule and just see how that works. So I'll create an alert rule, and let's modify the properties. So the target is central processor. Okay, it's ID. I'm going to call rule dot, basically the same thing as the other one, dot bad queue entry. Expand that out a little bit. And display name, I'll say alert on bad queue entry. This really, the display name for monitors actually shows up in the Health Explorer. For rules, you really don't see it. You have to go into the authoring pane and look at the rule there. When just normal operations, this display name really isn't seen. So just do something descriptive. Now data sources here, notice the other one, when we were doing monitors, we saw just a data source and we selected it right there. But here we see this is a collection. Now this will look a little bit different. And just thing to keep in mind here is a data source, or a rule can have multiple data sources. By far the most common is they have one. Okay, so it's not something you need to worry about very often at all. But they actually can have more than one, so we need to provide some UI here for that. So if I just say add, then this sets up my single data source. And so that's, it's really just a little bit of a UI difference than we've seen when we do rules. So the type ID that I'm going to select, you can see we've got a bunch here for events. Remember before we were selecting a monitor type. In this case, I'm going to take the Windows event provider. Again, this is one that we use quite often, pretty much any time you do a rule for a Windows event firing alert, this is the one that you're going to select is event provider. Okay, and I'm going to go ahead and configure. Okay, so the next thing I need to do is to go in here and do its configuration. As we saw before, that's when we get exposed to a bit of XML, and we saw that with monitors. Before I do that though, what I'm going to do is go over to the monitor that we had, and I'm going to look at its configuration. And this configuration here, as we're going to find out in a moment, is identical to the rule. So rather than type it in, I'm just going to go do a copy paste on it. Let me just, before I just paste that in, let me kind of prove what I'm talking about here. So if I go here and we can see, sure enough, computer name. I won't fill these in. Log name, expression, okay, and that's all that's required. So if I blank that out and I'll paste in what I just selected, you can see computer name, log name, expression. Now we'll get into this later on, again, when we talk about custom modules and custom monitors, but basically the monitor for doing event, a monitor based on a Windows event, uses the exact same data source that we just selected. And so it uses the exact same parameters in. So that's how I was able to do that copy-paste and not have to go type through it. If you're just jumping into this lesson, obviously go back to the last lesson on monitors, and I talk through this whole section here. Okay, and so I'm not going to sit here and go all through it. You can see our publisher name, event create, which is the command line utility we're going to do for that test. You can see that we have the number 201 in there. Now what I'm going to do, remember, I put this section in here when we targeted the queue. Okay, remember in the last lesson we tried targeting the central processor, we tried targeting the queue. And I needed this expression in here when we targeted the queue class so we knew which queue we were talking about. Remember, because I targeted multiple instances, a class that has multiple instances on that agent, we had multiple workflows running. And we only wanted one of those workflows to pick up the event. So in this case, I'm back to targeting central processor. And so I'm going to go ahead and remove that. Okay. And so we should be good here. So as long as we get an event with event create and a 201, we're good to go. Okay, let's go ahead and save that. Now you can see here, remember I mentioned the condition detection. And I could go in here and add one, right? And do another condition. Now in this case, I don't need to, because remember, I mentioned very often our conditions are baked right into our data source. That'll make a lot more sense when we actually do custom modules and we'll break these out and you'll see what these things actually look like. And you'll see that basically data sources will have expressions essentially right in them. And so we can just provide the information we need there. If we needed some other condition, then we could add it here. But we don't, and as I mentioned, most rules, many of the rules that you create won't have a condition on them because it's already baked into the data source. It's really when you start creating your own modules that you might start using those. Okay, so, but it's basically the same type of thing as selecting a data source and configuring its XML. So the other thing we need to look at is this alert. Remember we said we had an alerting rule. So alert severity, I'll just keep that as an error. It's a fairly bad thing. It's a backup, bad queue entry. Alert priority, I'll keep it normal. Alert name is bad queue entry. Now for our alert description, remember in monitors, I basically just took the description that was provided in the event and I put it into the alert. And I showed in that how we have out in our authoring guide all the syntax in order to do that. It was especially, it had context in the data variable there because it was a little bit more complex and that alert is responding to a health state change as opposed to basically being a direct part of the workflow. With rules though, it's a direct part of the workflow. And so this really makes a lot more sense. If I just say data event description, then that will include the description of the event that fired the alert. That's just a plain old data variable. That's also, all that syntax is documented in the authoring guide, so you can get where that is. So this should be good. Let's go ahead and save. And I'll do a build just to make sure we didn't have any typos or anything. So we do have an error there. Good. Okay. Fairly interesting. An error that we've seen before. And again, I actually like getting these kind of errors when we're doing trainings because they are the kind of thing that you're actually going to see when you're working with it. And this, again, we've seen before, we basically have too many hosts here. And so remember how we left this monitor from the previous lesson is targeted the queue class, which is hosted by central processor, which in turn is hosted by Windows computer. And so to get the computer name, we need the host of the host of the target. For ours though, because we're back to targeting central processor, we need to change this to a single host, okay? Because central processor is hosted by Windows computer, and it's Windows computer that we want to pick up the name from. All right. So that we should be able to build okay. I probably should have pretended like I meant to do that, but I actually didn't. Okay, good to go now. So let's go ahead and install. Okay, so here I am on my central processor computer. Let's just remind ourselves of the syntax here of event create. So I'll say event create. We'll say it's an error. ID was 201. Application log. And we can say bad queue. I'll say bad entry in queue S2. How's that? Okay, let's double check. Sure enough, there's our error event. So let's go back to the Operations Console and let's see if we get our alert. Okay, now I can sit here and refresh this all I want, right? Our monitor is disabled. That's not gonna do anything to our health state. We can see we can't even see the monitor because we disabled it, right? And so a rule, again, we want it to fire an alert, but it doesn't change health state at all. So if we go here to active alert, sure enough, here's the alert we got. We got our description in there. So this really doesn't look any different than when we had the monitor, but now with the rule, we get an alert that looks very similar. The difference is we're not going to change the health state at all as central processor. So if we're looking at SLAs or just looking at general health state information, as far as we're concerned, central processor is still fully operational. Okay, so why don't we create our performance collection rule now? So I'll go ahead and add template. This time we'll say performance collection. Close this and let's go ahead and look at our properties. So our target this time, remember, is going to be central receiver. And I'll set its ID to rule. Dot, let's see, central receiver. And I'll say collect processor. Okay. And then our display name, I'll say collect central receiver processor. Now this display name is really a little bit arbitrary. When we do the display name for a monitor, it actually shows up in the Health Explorer. The only place the display name for a rule is really going to show up is in the authoring pane when you look at rules, and it's not nearly as important as the other one. Still, obviously, we want something as something descriptive. Now our data source. Now the one I'm going to select here is optimized data provider. If we selected just data provider, what this would do is essentially we would give it some interval, say every 10 minutes, go ahead and collect this performance counter, and it would just methodically move along every 10 minutes. What optimize does is it says that same thing, I mean every 10 minutes we're going to take a sample, but what we're going to do is say that we need that value to deviate significantly from the previous value or we're not going to store it. And the reason for that is just efficiency in terms of how much data we're collecting. If you think of something like a very good example we tend to use is say take disk space, if that's something we were collecting, and disk space changes pretty rarely. And so basically it's very redundant. We're just collecting data points that are either exactly the same or very close to each other. So a lot of data being collected with minimal value. So what we're saying is only actually store that value to the database when it varies significantly. And so that's typically something that's almost always we'll use the optimized provider. Something like processor we certainly expect is going to vary a little bit more. But again, we're not so much concerned that, hey, it went from, you know, 20% to 25%. Who cares, right? What I'm more concerned about is it went from 20 to 40 or something like that, something fairly significant. So I'm going to take the optimized provider. Now before I go and do that data source configuration, I'm going to do what we did before when we did our rule, or our event rule, and basically steal the configuration from the monitor that we already created. Because what we're going to find is this rule is going to require all of these properties that you see, or these parameters. It doesn't take a threshold, obviously we're not looking for, you know, to fire an alert or anything, and but the other ones that define the counter and the frequency, we need for that. In fact, fairly interesting, I should mention, you're not going to find any templates out there for doing an alerting rule based on a performance counter. You could create one if you wanted to, but it really doesn't make a lot of sense because you think about a performance counter, by definition, has a positive and a negative value. So where we set that threshold, we're either above or below. So it really makes no sense. Why would I ever create a rule when I could have a monitor? So that's why you really don't provide any templates for those, because we really don't know of any scenarios where you would create that. So let's go ahead and go back here, and we'll configure. And just to show this off so we can see, we have computer name and counter name. I'm not filling these in, I'm gonna paste them in, but I'm just kinda trying to show, you know, how it is that I knew that these same values or same parameters could be used. Right, and there's the entire list. Okay, so rather than fill those in, what I'll do is just paste in the values that we just took. Now there are a couple more that I need because we didn't optimize provider here. Okay, so I'm going to set something called tolerance. I'm going to set it to 10, and before I explain it, let's have a look at tolerance type. And you can see we have absolute and percentage. And what these say is, are we looking for the value to change just, for instance here I'm using process utilization, just by a value of 10, say from 20% to 30%, or do I want to look at the percentage of the value rather than a raw value? So if you think of, again, let's look at disk space. Again, we have disks of various different sizes, some very large, some a little smaller. So to provide a you know, I needed to move up by X number of megabytes is a lot more difficult. Better saying, hey, if it moves by say 5% or 10% based on the last value that we saw, then that may make more sense. In this case, I'm going to say absolute. So I'm saying I need to see this thing go up by 10% or down by 10%, a difference, say from a 20 to a 30. 20 to 25, I'm not going to bother with. You may think, wow, I'd like that a little smaller, maybe set that to 5 or something like that, and perfectly reasonable just in terms of you know, what you want the behavior to be. The last thing we set is maximum sample separation. I'm also going to set that to 10. What this says is, after a certain number of samples, we're going to force collection. In other words, let's say we moved along 10 times, we sampled this value, it's never varied enough, and so we're never storing anything to the database. After 10 times, say, you know, let's go ahead and store one, just so it doesn't look like things are broken and we're not collecting. And so still, I mean, you can imagine here that still we will have saved, you know, 9 samples basically. And so a significant reduction in the storage requirements. So just like I mentioned before, we don't need a condition here. We've already defined the performance counter we're interested in. Don't need to refine that any further. And then because this is a collection rule, we're given these two options: to collect to the database or the data warehouse. Basic operations manager concepts there, so I'm not going to spend any time in explaining the difference between the two. Most people should understand that. But you can see I can, you know, collect to both or one or the other. It's pretty rare to just collect to one. Just about every time we do a collection rule, we say collect to both the database and the data warehouse. So we should be good there. Let's go ahead and notice, and I beat me to it, I was about to say that I was expecting to get an error. But this error actually makes sense. What this is saying is, wait a minute, you said you want to collect to the data warehouse, but we're missing a management pack reference, which is our library that provides the modules for actually talking to the data warehouse. That isn't one of our standard references. So that's one we're going to need to add. So I'll do add a reference. And my library here, R2, and the one we want is this data warehouse library, MP. Now this is one that doesn't necessarily get a great name. It just kind of uses the initials. And just for whatever reason, the most common abbreviation you're going to see is SCDW for System Center Data Warehouse. I'm not sure why. You can use another alias if you want. You can keep the original one if you want. That's just almost always the one we tend to use. So with that in place, I should be able to save. Let's go ahead and do a build. OK, Okay, so we look good, and let's go ahead and install. Okay, so we look good, so let's go over and have a look. So this is our central receiver here, and we can always look at any performance counters that we're collecting by just looking at performance view. And so sure enough, we see that we've got some data here. We can see it's, remember, we're collecting a processor for this test service that really isn't doing anything. So you can see by the numbers there, it's pretty idle. But really what this shows is we are collecting data. Even if that value is zero, that's fine. We're go ahead and collecting it there. And you can always, pretty quick check you can always look for is when you're doing any performance rule, you should, when you look at the performance view, immediately get an entry here on the legend for the counter that you're collecting, even if maybe you're not quite seeing data yet. That's always a pretty quick indicator to you that the rule is in there and working. So in any event, looks like our collection rule is working well. And finally, let's go ahead and create this alerting rule for the log file. Now remember, this is going to run against our central processor, and it's going to look for an entry in a text log. All right, so let's kind of talk through that as we go. So I'll add an alerting rule and target central processor. Its ID will say rule. Central processor, remember we said this had to do with a failed backup that will be, that have an entry in the log file. So let's go ahead and say failed backup. Display name, we'll say alert on failed backup. And remember, alerting rules can have multiple data sources. We're only going to have one. So let's do an add, and the type ID, if I type in log, now you can see we don't have anything for a text log here. Reason for that is we need a manage pack reference. Okay, this is one that's not not there by default. So I'm going to go ahead and add a reference. Okay, go to my R2 library, and the one that I want here is system application log. Okay, and so if I go to the properties for that, that's not a great alias there, so I'm going to go ahead and call it app log. Just makes things a little bit more readable in the XML. Okay, now if we go back to our fail backup rule that we're building here, let's go ahead and add our data source back in. Now if I say log, you can see I have quite a few of them. I mean, we've actually got, and you can just tell by the name, they're all the different types of log files that we can read. So the one that I'm going to select is this here, generic CSV log filtered event provider. Now what this is, a CSV is comma delimited, or basically any delimiter, as opposed to a generic log down here where basically it's going to pick up each line of the log file as one entry. What I'm saying here is we're going to have something, some delimiter, so I can pick up basically one line in the log file is going to be one entry, but I can pick up each of basically of the fields as long as they're separated by some delimiter. Okay, and so when we're reading log files, we're counting on them being fairly structured. If you have a log file where, say, one entry can take up multiple lines, or the each line might be of a different format, then that's something you're really going to have to do with a script. You really can't use one of the log files. We're counting on things being basically one line per entry and very consistent in terms of their formatting. What the filtered event log is, the event log basically would, every single time a line came in, I'm interested in it. What the filtered event does is say we want to provide some expression, so we only want lines that match a certain criteria. Okay, and so that's the one that we want here. And so let's go ahead and do our configuration for it. First thing I have to do is a log file directory, and this says what local directory is this going to be stored in. I'm going to say C stores here. That's just the folder where we expect to find this. And the log file pattern, now what this is saying is basically we don't have to give it, we can give it a specific name, but we can give it something with wildcards here. So remember I said CP, which is our central processor, and I'll say star.log. And so what I'm expecting the format of this to be, as I said on the slide, it's CP and then some date of the current date dot log. And so what this says is if we have an application that creates a new log file each day or, you know, when a certain size is hit or something like that, then we can pick those up. I don't have to give an explicit name. Of course, if I add in a wildcard here, then I could just have a specific name log file. That worked fine as well. Okay. Next is this is it in UTF-8 format. If you go into, there's a little explanation on that in the UI when you create a log file rule using using the operations console. It's another format. Basically, mine's a standard ASCII file, so this is going to be false. Okay. The next we're saying is our separator. Now, in this case, I have a comma. I actually have to put that into quotes. Okay, and so this my separator here is a comma. Maybe you have a vertical bar or, you know, any other character that's separating those. Okay, mine is a comma. And then next, I'm going to paste in an expression and then talk to it just again, which I've been doing all along because I don't want to make typos. And again, as I mentioned before, you can create these types of rules and monitors using the operations console. And so a lot of UI in there, you can go ahead and create that, look at the format that gets created, and have a look at the XML if you're interested in that. So basically what this is saying, though, is this params param 3 here, this is a syntax basically to pick up the what we call the parameters in the text log. So there's a params collection, and then each of the different parameters is specified by its index number. So the first one being param 1, 2, 3. So basically what I'm expecting in my log files, we'll see in a moment, is the first position is the date, second position is the time, and the third position is basically my main message, and that's where I'm going to expect to see this pattern failed backup. Okay, so if we see that in the third position, and I'm saying contain substring here, and this is just basically regular expression type stuff. You could get some pretty complex patterns in here if you know your regular expressions, and again, a little more intro to that if this looks a little bit cryptic, operations console looking in that UI, and then of course generating that XML that you can take. Okay, so I'll go ahead and save that. We don't need a condition. Again, if I had selected there, remember I selected the filtered event provider. If I had selected the non-filtered, then basically we would pick up every single line that hit that log, and then I could do the expression here in the condition detection. That would be another way to do that. Okay, but I don't need to because I specified it in the first one there. Okay, we'll say our severity is an error. Our alert name, let's see, we'll say central processor, I guess I should capitalize that, failed nightly backup. Now alert description here, this I'm going to get a little more explicit than we've done in the past, because remember basically we took, we were doing the event, Windows event provider, and we just take the event description and paste that in. Well, in this case, I have a line in a text file. It's not really something that I just maybe want to throw the whole line in, and you know, how can I pick up those individual elements in there? So basically, I'm going to provide first a message. I'm going to say log entry contains the following information. Okay. And I'm going to say date. Tell you what, let me just paste this in, and then I'm going to explain it. Okay, so basically what I'm saying here is the format of my log file, as I said, first position will be date, second time, third is some message, and then four is maybe some details about that message. That's just, you know, my application, my pretend application here. That's the format of the log file that it generates. So what this data variable here, and actually we saw that in the expression. Remember when we provide an expression, we actually are using data variables. We're just doing it without the dollar data in front of it. So in the expression, we basically specified params param 3. okay, this here, we just don't, in the expression, we don't have to delimit that in dollar signs. But this actually is the full data variable. So basically, I'm just saying first position from the log file, second position, third, and fourth. Okay, so that allows me to take the details from that entry and put it into the alert description. All right, so that's all I need. So let's go ahead and save and build that. Hopefully we should get no error here. Okay, and let's go ahead and install. Okay, so here we are on our central processor computer, and you can see I already have a log file here that I was doing a little bit of testing with. And as I said before, the format that I used here is date, time, some message, and then some details about it. So as long as that has failed backup in it, we hopefully should get an alert. If it says successful backup, we shouldn't get anything. So what I'm going to do is create a new file here just to show how that works. So I'll just say text document. Let's just make this for the next day. 2014.09.19.log. Okay. And so I said I'd have a date. So I have 9/09/2014. And then a comma is my delimiter. So I'll say, let's see. Let's say it ran about there, 2355. And then I'll go ahead and say failed backup. And then the backup failed with error device not ready, let's say. Okay, so with that line there, the moment that I save this, we should get an alert. Okay, so let's go back and have a look at the operations console. So again, this isn't a monitor. I don't expect to see anything there. What I should see is under active alerts. Sure enough, there we go. We get our error there. Central processor failed its nightly backup. And of course, there in the alert description, you can see there's the information that I put in, right? First position, second, third, and fourth. Okay, so hopefully that shows. Now again, this is a rule. We can absolutely base a monitor on text logs as well. And you can see that there are other various different log formats that we've all documented as well. And that just really covers for the fact that many applications will actually store information in log files as opposed to the event log.